send us all your money. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher, and we'll send you a free subscription for Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Absolutely free. Analysis and opinion so honest, it's just a matter of time before they get themselves in trouble. Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Parker's just flexing. It's unbelievable. It's Baseball Central with Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker. This is the first.
Thank you, Travis.
Travis McKenzie, our producer, is giving us our notes.
Woohoo!
Way before 11:43. Nicely done, Travis. Let's just see if they're correct. Oh, that's wrong. That's wrong. Wrong date. Wrong standings.
We usually read it wrong anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Your Toronto Blue Jays, Kevin Barker, a big 3-1 win. I believe you forecast it in the show yesterday. You said, you know what, this team needs to get going, needs back-to-back home runs.
I did.
By Justin Smoltz.
I will take credit for everything they did.
Nobody
yesterday.
In Jays history. I think that's right, isn't it? Travis has hit a homer to tie the game and a homer to win it next year.
That is
innings.
Correct, yes.
It's in my notes? Oh, yeah. First time in Jays history that somebody's hit a game-tying home run in the ninth. A walk-off home run in the 10th. It's Jeff Blair and
Travis.
Kevin Barker, by the way. Yeah, it's going to be 1-0 for a while. It's happened 9 times since 2000. Most recently, September 8, 2014, Tyler Flowers of the Chicago White Sox. Mr. Smoke, 3-for-5, 2 runs, 2 homers, 3 ribbies, and a K. Other than that, well, from a distance, other than Josh Donaldson, Kevin Pillar, who's just smoking hot right now.
Yeah.
And Justin's home smokes home runs. I didn't see a whole hell of a lot to get excited about offensively. And what did you tell me? And I was sitting there. I was going to come on and say, Kevin, we got to talk about Jose Bautista, 2-for-24. We're talking about Jose Bautista, all right.
Right.
But you ain't panicking. Tell me why.
Well, here's what I'm going to say. Jose Bautista, when you talk about track records, he's got a pretty good one. He's a pretty good player, pretty good hitter. He's figured it out, yada, yada, yada. But yesterday,
I mean, I could tell people that.
100%. But yesterday, I did see something. And now I understand, what was he? He was 0-for-5 and left 6 runners on base. Yeah. So everybody's going, huh, you know, what's this guy know? But when you look at long-term and you want a guy the entire season, and he's trying to obviously get out of slumps. Yesterday, I saw him tracking balls longer. I saw him landing with an easier front side. I didn't see him landing with a hard front side, meaning he's not stomping with that front foot when he lands. He's not trying to get out and get the baseball. He's trying to let it get deeper, hence the 2 balls he hit to right field. Mm-hmm. He's tracking the ball longer. He's walking away from his hands, which is a big deal.
Okay.
That's sort of that rubber band theory. Well, the rubber band theory is you have to pull it back for it to be stronger. Hitting's no different. You have to walk away from your hands, meaning I land with a soft front side. And then I walk away from my hands. I wish we were on TV. I could show this and explain it. But gist of it is you want to be able to load up.
Mm-hmm.
When that starts with your lower half. It has to be soft. You have to see the ball out of the guy's hand, which Jose Bautista yesterday to me, I know he was 0-for-5 and left all the runners on base, but you can see, or at least I could see yesterday, that was the first time when he actually took a pitch and tracked it all the way into the catcher. Unless you're easy with the front side, you're landing easily, you're walking away from your hands, you're not jumpy, you're not trying to get out and get the baseball like you're excited, you can't wait to hit, you get up there, you're trying to force the issue. He was doing those things yesterday. So if you want to, you know, he's one of those guys that's streaky anyway, and when he gets on one of those streaks, one way or the other, it could be really good and it can be really bad because of how many parts is in his swing. Remember now, he basically has that huge, ginormous leg kick, and he has to get all of those things down. And you can see when he's struggling, guys hold the ball longer, they quick pitch him, they do anything to throw his timing off. Yesterday, I didn't see that. I saw things that look like he's headed in the right direction. He's letting the ball travel, and he hit a couple of line drives to right field. I know these are things you're looking at going 0-for-5 with 6 guys left on.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to look at the positives here. We can keep beating this dead horse and saying this team 1-9 is not getting it done, but now you look at positives. And how many hits did they have yesterday? They had 9 hits, and I'm going to say 8 of those, besides the Justin Smoke breaking ball hit up the middle, were all on fastballs. That's a great sign. We talked about not hitting the fastball. Well, all of a sudden yesterday, you could tell when they went to the plate, okay, no matter what count it is or where we're at standing at the plate, we're going to think fastball first and adjust to everything else. We're trying to look for positives here. And if you know, it's very hard with a team that's struggling like this because 1 through 5 was 4 for 21 with 7 punch outs and left 17 on base. That's hard. Now it's time for us to come in here and be a little positive and say guys are at least taking the thing in the dugout to the on-deck circle, watching the guy in front of him saying, okay, guy's warming up. He's bouncing breaking balls in the dirt. He's elevating the fastball. What should I do? Well, make him show me he can throw me a breaking ball in the strike zone. I look fastball. That's an approach. Mm-hmm. Yesterday, I saw that. I'm starting to see guys hunting the fastball. It's a fastball hitting team. Only way you're going to get out of it is to see the fastball, hunt it, and put it in play. They did a better job of that yesterday.
I'll let you be the optimist. What I saw, and I'm being facetious here, but what I wanted to ask you about, 9th inning, Texas Rangers basically walked Josh Donaldson, or didn't pitch to Josh Donaldson to get the Batista. Batista, I think, 2 for 23 at that point, and then he hits the line drive to right. Kevin, when you see another team basically saying, no, I'm going after you. And when you see a team like the Rangers on a couple of occasions had two right-handers up in the bullpen, I mean, basically they're saying, we're going to work over the Jays right-handed. We're going to work over the middle of the order. We're just going to go right at them. I mean, how do you view that? I mean, I guess we would have done the same thing if you're Jeff Banister, right? You're not pitching to Josh Donaldson with a man in second and a man in third or whatever. You're not going to pitch.
Yeah, Josh Donaldson's hitting .292 with an OPS of 1.037, and Batista's hitting .219.
But what
of course,
is that,
that's what you're going to do.
Does that piss off Jose Batista?
It should. If you were the kind of hitter Jose Batista's been, and you're scuffling a little bit, yeah, of course that would. You're standing on the on deck circle. He knows exactly what they're doing. But we're not the only one that saw that. Yeah, that's what I said. Yeah, sometimes you have to look at the positives and forget about the numbers. You talk about guys with track records. There's no other guys on this team that have a better track record than Batista, besides Donaldson winning the MVP. But
yeah,
Batista basically drives the baseball. And when you're starting to do, we always said the deeper, you know, you talk about trying to get jammed at the plate and hitting the balls the other way. Well, yesterday he did it twice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to take small steps before you can. It's that old saying, you have to walk before you can run, or you have to crawl before you can walk, however you want to say it. Well, yesterday I think was a step in the right direction because of the way he's taking pitches, and that has to light a little bit of fire under him, that they're walking the guy in front of you to get to you.
Mm-hmm. A couple of other things come out of yesterday's game. Of course, you mentioned the back-to-back home runs. Marco Estrada gave up a leadoff home run to Rougned Odor, and that was the only blemish in 6 innings of work. 6 innings, 2 hits, 1 run it was earned, a walk, 3 Ks, a home run, pulled after 88 pitches, and Jesse Chavez put into the game. And I think, you know, I was thinking at the time, man, that's awfully early to take Marco Estrada. A couple of things I think are at work here. One, of course, we know about the shoulder issue that he may have had in the last start or appeared to have in the last start. But also, Kevin, I think Dan Shulman made this point. My sense is right now, John Gibbons is looking at his bullpen. We'll be joined by Gavin Floyd in a few minutes, by the way. But right now, John Gibbons is looking at his middle relief. And, I mean, essentially, I think what he said to himself is, I got to at least give these guys, I mean, not much else is working. I got to at least give these guys a clean inning. I don't want to bring Jesse Chavez in, man in first, man in second. I want these guys having a clean inning to start. And what I found interesting, too, is the fact that John Gibbons used Roberto Osuna in a non-save situation, most important part of the game. That, to me, just indicates that John Gibbons right now, other than Roberto Osuna's my closer, he's got no clue about the roles in the bullpen.
Well,
if
you're one of those guys in the bullpen from the 6th inning on, it's all hands on deck. It doesn't matter if you're the closer or the setup guy or 7th inning guy. It doesn't matter where you're at in the game. You could be called on.
Yeah, because when you're not scoring runs, the game can be won or lost in the 6th inning.
100%.
7th inning as
100%.
Well.
When you're bringing Osuna in, not in a closing situation, you're telling your team, we have to win these games.
Mm-hmm.
We have to start getting after people, putting guys in the right spot to win and help your team do that. It's, You know, Roberto Osuna right now is the best bullpen guy they got. He comes in, he's throwing strikes, he's getting after people. His attitude when he does it, hopefully that's contagious. We talk about everybody. Hitting's contagious, pitching's contagious. Well, you put your right guy in the right spot with a lot of attitude, he's contagious for everybody else. He comes in and gets it done like Roberto Osuna did yesterday. Maybe that's a trickle-down effect. Now everybody wants to do it and falls in line.
Marco Estrada had three walks yesterday, I believe. Sorry, one base. One walk, three strikeouts yesterday. He had four strikeouts in each of his previous two starts. Four walks and back-to-back starts. God, four walks and back-to-back starts. It looked like the changeup was a lot better last night than it was in those two previous games. It wasn't horrible. But it looked like the changeup's the key to him when it comes to his control, right?
Yeah, well, it is. But last night, it looked to me like the first three innings, he didn't have an off-speed pitch. He was basically going fastball. Mm-hmm. He would flip a breaking ball to try and change speeds just to show him he wasn't trying to throw the breaking ball for strikes because he didn't have a feel for it. Whether it's the shoulders barking, he's having trouble with that. Whatever it was, he couldn't get the feel of that, so he's throwing a lot of fastballs. He's getting out. He was trying to work his way through it and give his team a chance to win. Hey, you know, this guy's a pitcher. Mm-hmm. He's figured out how to have you separate yourself, I think, in starts whenever you can get through certain games with not good stuff. And yesterday was one of the worst games I've seen him with his stuff-wise. His changeup, which is his most devastating pitch, for the most part, wasn't there. His breaking ball, he threw it more, like I said, to show it because it's the mile-per-hour difference, and he was basically getting after guys with fastballs. That's what you call a pitcher. That's a guy that understands the situation and knows that, hey, I have to try and battle here and get through some innings. Elevate guys, get guys looking down with the breaking ball, elevate the fastball, mile per hour. You do that, hopefully you can eat up enough innings to help your team and get it to the bullpen, and hopefully they can score enough runs. Mm-hmm. You know, they're doing it. The starting rotation, I mean, seriously, it's getting to where you hate to say, is it all of these good starts being wasted because of the way they're swinging the bat? And hey, anytime you can get 18 or 19 quality starts out of 28 games, that's pretty good. So wasn't his best stuff last night. He got through it. That's what a big league starter does. And yeah, if you're John Gibbons and Pete Walker, man, you got to be excited about that because his best pitch wasn't there.
Yeah. Another aspect of last night's game is Joe Biagini. And you know, we talked about this, a Rule 5 guy. If you're a Rule 5 guy, the team has to keep you on their 25-man roster all year or offer you back to the team that originally left you off the 40-man roster. In this case, the San Francisco Giants. You know, you watch this guy pitch, and you look at him, and he's kind of a big lug sort of looking guy. But you watch him pitch. He's got 96. He's got some sink to his pitches.
He's got a big league hook.
The 12-6 curve is just
really good.
It's really good. What do you think I know this is early, but what do you think? What do you think the ceiling might be for this guy? Are we looking at a guy who could eventually move into the rotation? Are we looking at a guy who could have a pretty responsible role in the bullpen?
Yeah, I say if it ain't broke, don't fix it. It's that kind of thing. Yeah, when he's doing things like this.
But talking maybe down the road.
Well, yeah, maybe. But, you know, I think as big of issues as they've got in the bullpen right now, why can't you put him in seventh or eighth spots? You know, seventh inning rolls around, give him a clean inning, come in because he's throwing 96 with a lot of movement. He's got the big league hook, and he's got a lot of brass. You know, he walks around out there like he's been there before.
Finish the game with four ground ball outs.
And
four,
I can three, do it. Five, well, three, the four, most three, the most impressive thing was the ninth inning when, you know, he had the double, then the single, first and third, nobody out, and then he gets a ground out of K and a ground out. That's
– yeah.
And not giving up any runs. That's impressive.
Yeah.
You know, you just wouldn't think a guy that young hadn't been there above double A before comes here and gets things done like that. And he's just confident. You know, confident, it shows. Even when you're standing on the on-deck circle and you're a guy waiting to face a guy that's confident and understands he can throw a couple pitches for strikes in any count and he has confident doing it, that's half the battle. And you're seeing that. I think Gibby's going to go to whoever's getting it done. And right now he's one of the guys.
The Jays, by the way, recalled a reliever, Chad Giroto, recalled from Buffalo. He will join the Jays today. Matt Dominguez was sent back to Buffalo. And Matt Dominguez, it was an extra player, I think. But it's a further reflection, I think, Kevin, of they're trying to find multiple answers in the bullpen. They really are.
Sure. Well, yeah. You see the bullpen just like I do every day.
I wonder, though, you know, and Buck and Shulman made this point during the game yesterday, and I know we're just about to be joined by Gavin Floyd, but Buck and Shulman made this point yesterday. We talk about the bullpen, talk about the bullpen, talk about the bullpen, but maybe there's a little balance of blame here. Maybe we have to shift a little bit of the blame to the lineup. Now, you've been doing that, I admit, but a lot of us, and I'm including myself in this, we've been fixated in the bullpen. And the bullpen hasn't been great, but it'd be nice to have a cushion every now and then. And there have been games where they've exploited. You know, by cushion, I'm talking about a 4 or 5 run lead. It'd be nice to have that. They've taken the torch to some pretty good leads, but it's not like these guys are coming in with 3 or 4 runs to play with every time.
Yeah, I think so. Well, you talk about home field advantage at the Rogers Center. They're hitting .249 as a team with an OPS of .749. They've struck out 128 games at home. We talked about last year, everybody was scared to come to the Rogers Center, the way they were hitting balls line to line, home runs, the crooked home run a lot. It was home field advantage. Mm-hmm. That's not there anymore. They need to get back to that. They need to be intimidating. I said the big boys on the block pushing people around the end of last year with the Toronto Blue Jays, the American League East. Is that them now? No, I heard Brunt earlier say somebody lost their mojo.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you could say that about 1 through 9 in the lineup, minus Batista or minus Donaldson most of the time.
Pilar's on a bit of a –
Pilar, but not all season. Donaldson's basically done it from day one when the bell rang.
Donaldson's been so good.
Yeah, so it's, you know, the mojo's not there. They need to get the swagger back, a little bit of that intimidating factor of, hey, don't pitch in because you just never know. So they get that back, things are going to start rolling.
All right, you've managed to make me feel a little better.
Confidence.
But you've managed to make me feel better about Jose Batista.
I tried.
Make me feel better about Russ Martin.
I'm going to say the same thing because, you know, I was driving in today and I got it all out. I was happy and, I wasn't happy. Now I'm happy all of a sudden and we're trying to get all these things going. And, okay, here's what I'm going to say because I'm going to be optimistic today. Russell Martin yesterday, to me, now obviously what was he yesterday? He was, what did he go? Russell Martin was one for three with a walk, one strikeout. Okay, yeah. What I saw too was he walked on 4 pitches. When's the last time you saw Russell Martin do that? He took pitch. I'll get back to the Batista thing. Sometimes you have to simplify it. It's the small victories when you're at the plate, when you're struggling the way Russell Martin is. The way he took 4 pitches for balls, he took them like he knew they were balls right out of the guy's hand. That's a plus. When you start doing things like that and you can get back to your strength, you have to see the ball first. That's the biggest thing. Yesterday was a step in the right direction because of the way he took the 4 pitches on the wall.
And that was right after Pilar had been hit by a pitch.
100%. So it's, you know, you have to all of a sudden start taking little small victories. And a walk on 4 pitches, taking them the way he did, nice and easy, soft, walking away from your hand, seeing the ball out of the guy's hand, it's – all of these things. And when you're hitting .149, you can go home and say it's a small victory because I got a hit. I got a walk. I was 1 for 3. Go get him tomorrow. How was that?
I feel better about Russ Martin. Now, what about Troy Tulowitzki?
Whoa. Well, he's a little bit, I think he's a little different. Because of the power and the way we expect him to drive the ball line to line. And
I'm really putting you in the spot here,
You are. But, the first two guys I said, Jose Batista is really, really close. I'm going to stick with that one. Russell Martin's going to get closer. Hey, I'll say this. When you've been around as long as those two guys and you're a .250 career hitter, you're going to end the season basically a .250 hitter. It's not how you start, it's how you finish. Guys, okay, so those two guys, Russell Martin – the Troy Tulowitzki thing, we haven't seen the best of him. I'm still saying that. I think the trying too hard, we're seeing that with he's very vocal all of a sudden. He's showing his emotion, which we're not used to seeing. I think once he gets back to just saying, basically, I'm going to hunt the fastball when I swing at it, the intent is to put it in play and put it in play with authority. How do I do that? If I have to change, if I have to use a smaller bat, if I have to move away from the plate, closer to the plate, if I have to choke up, whatever it takes to do that consistently, when he starts doing that with the talent, he's going to get it done.
I found it interesting. John Gibbons told us yesterday that second base is now a platoon situation. Darwin Barney and Ryan Goins. Darwin Barney talking to Mike Wilner about this, about how he's going to approach things. And his point was, you know, you want to be a pest at the bottom of the order. And he said, I'm not talking about seeing a lot of pitches. I'm talking about having a plan, right? I'm talking about having a plan going up there. One of the things that really frustrates me about this team, and to me, this sums up the 2016 Blue Jays so far, is his at bat in, was it the seventh inning?
The 15-pitch at bat.
15-pitch at bat.
Right.
Battling at bat, in which he was called out in a check swing. To me, if 15-pitch at bat, you're going down swinging. I'm not going to go down in a check swing. But other than that, it was a great at bat. But you know what? I wanted to see him drop a sacrifice bunt
too.
In the first pitch.
I was going
to
say
that was to me, once that didn't happen, that at-bat's over.
100%. His job wasn't to go up there and see 15 pitches. His job was to go up there and get the guy over. That's what it was all about. And when he didn't get it done, yeah, it was nice that you saw him after that battle for 15 pitches or whatever. But basically, that's what we're seeing a lot of, I think, is if you ask Darryl Barney today, he's going to say, who cares about the 15 pitches? I didn't get the bunt down. That was the whole thing I was going up there to do. I think once everybody says, forget about the scoreboard and what I'm hitting or whatever else is going on, walk to the plate, see it on the on-deck circle, and know the situation before I walk up there. Not have to look at the third base coach or look in the dugout and say, lay a bunt down. Know it before you have to go to the plate. Do it without everybody telling you to do it and get it done. It's the get it done league, right? I think when every individual starts doing their individual job, if your job is to drive in runs, start driving in runs. If your job is to take pitches and work counts and let the guy behind you see more pitches so he can go up and have a better at bat, do that. Once every individual starts doing his individual job, then this team is going to fall in line and let the big three do what they're supposed to do and what they're going to do.
You know what? We're going to take a break right now as we await Gavin Floyd. There's something, Dan and Buck, and I thought this kind of stuff really fascinates me about baseball. I think it's kind of instructive for a lot of people. And we got a guy who was an infielder here. So I want to talk about the role of pace in the game, especially what we saw to the Texas Rangers last night. Martin Perez, a guy who, as the Rangers folks will tell you, sometimes his head gets in the way of what he's doing. We saw the Rangers, boy, they nursed him through that. We saw Adrian Beltre coming in to have a conversation with him. You know, we saw Mitch Moreland coming in to have a conversation. I mean, God, half the time the catcher was beside him on the mound. They really nursed this guy through the game. At the same time, we talked about how Marco Estrada's pace seemed to pick up a little bit in the fifth inning. So I want to talk about the role of teammates when a pitcher's on the mound. And when we're dealing about with pace, we're dealing about slowing down the game, trying to get a guy through it. We've got a guy who played first base here, Kevin Barker. So we're going to deal with that, a little baseball 101, when Baseball Central continues on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Do not settle. Demand. Sportsnet 590, The Fan, on demand. Now, back to more Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
I can do that all day.
Do what?
I'm not going to say. They're going to have to use their imagination. Just trust me, I can do that all day.
Huh.
Stop it. I love air drumming.
You're a bad influence on me. My mother's listening to this show, too.
Uh-oh.
Hi, Mom.
Hi, Mom Barker. Ma Barker. I called her Ma Barker the first time I met her.
That's cool. She'll take it.
Your parents are so nice.
Yeah. I don't know what happened to me.
Yeah. Anyhow, they deserve better.
Hey, that's
I'm sorry.
Rude.
That is rude.
That's a little over the top.
That is over the top. It's Baseball Central with Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker. I had this all planned out. And then Travis came in and
gave you more stats.
At 11:30 and gave us more stats. That's our Travis up at the crack of dawn. Crack of noon. Kind of an interesting couple of interesting things last night out of the game that Dan and Buck both picked up on. And I want to talk to you about it because I find sometimes I don't necessarily want to talk about guys scuffling. Yeah, guess what? The Jays aren't hitting right now. They got a bunch of guys in their 30s who are going to probably hit around 250, 260, 270 at some point and hit some home runs.
Why does it matter if they're in their 30s?
Because they're getting older. I'm just saying. The guys with track records. I want to talk about a couple of things last night. Marco Estrada, for the first three innings, and Buck pointed this out, the first three innings didn't look entirely comfortable. Fourth inning, 6-3, 6-3. I'm sorry, fourth inning. Don't get carried away, Jeff. Strikeout, swinging, great play by Josh Donaldson defensively. 4-3, Mitch Moreland. It's like his pace picked up all of a sudden. You started to see him working a little faster. I want to talk about the importance of that, but also what we saw with Texas. Now, Martin Perez is a guy who sometimes is his own worst enemy mentally. And the Rangers players, their infielders, did such a good job. And it drove fans nuts. Fans are booing because the guys are going to talk to the pitcher and the catcher's going to talk to the pitcher. But they had a guy who you could tell the game was going too fast for Martin Perez. And it was at times looked like it was getting away from him. They kind of nursed him through that. They got him through however many innings it was, the 5 2/3, 6 innings, whatever. You played first base. How does that work? You got a pitcher on the mound. Your guy is scuffling. Pitchers are weird people. Sometimes when they're scuffling, they want to be left alone. They don't want to talk to people. Mm-hmm. They want them, themselves, and the catcher. Talk to me a little bit about that whole, I guess if you want to call it, the politics of the infield. How you go about who talks to the pitcher. How important is pace of play for fielders? Things of that nature.
Okay, the first thing is I think Nicklaus and Perez were having a real tough time getting on the same page.
Which makes sense because Nicklaus
crossed him up. He's a young catcher. He's trying to figure out the rotation, figure out how to work him through spots like that. But Perez is one of those guys to me that tries to overdo everything. You know, when something's not breaking right, let me try and throw it harder instead of taking a little bit off and trying to get guys out on their front foot. I think that's why everybody was walking out and saying, hey, let's take a deep breath, walk around the mound a little bit, collect yourself and figure out that I don't always have to throw it harder. Everything doesn't have to be harder. So that's one of the things. Pace of play when I'm watching, I don't mind that. I want everybody to get on the same page and figure it out. These games matter. Mm-hmm. You know, and the thing that we always talk about, it's early. Well, you can tell yesterday with Texas coming in to face the Jays, Texas doesn't think it's early.
Yeah.
Texas thinks all of these.
John Gibbons managed like a guy who figures it's not early anymore.
It's not early. All these games matter. So I think that's one of the things you have to realize. And the other things, it's just, a really good team. You have guys all like Beltre was the main guy in that thing. I thought that he would call timeout and go over to Perez and basically talk to him and say exactly, I'm sure, what I was saying. Maybe in some not so nice words at time. You know, every once in a while, you got to get a little fired up and say, hey, enough of this is enough. Let's get after it and forget about trying to, trick people or overthrow this. Get back to your stuff. You throw 96 left-handed. Use it.
Now, when you were the young guy, when you were in the majors, you were usually the young guy in the infield.
I was when I started. Yes.
When you started, yeah.
Yes.
Who was the guy that you played with? You know, that was just that knew exactly the infielder knew exactly what to say to the pitcher. Was there a guy that really stood out to you as the guy who was sort of the ultimate? Hey, this is the captain. This is the guy who's going to step up and say, "Come on, let's."
Yeah, Fernando Vina was one of the guys I really remember that would always have like really short. Quick, and I would always like to run in and hear what he's got to say. It was real short and quick, like, stop thinking. And then he'd turn around and run off. It would be just little short things to tell a pitcher to give him something other to think about than trying to throw a strike down and away. Think about something else. Mm-hmm. So if this guy's running in from second base and telling me, your shoe's untied, and he would it's just real simple. Yeah. What I'm trying to say is trying to get that pitcher to think about something other than what he's doing on the mound because it's not working. He's trying to get him to do something else.
How much of it do you think is strategy, though? Obviously, when a catcher goes out to talk to pitcher, they're talking, okay, well, how are we going to work this guy? What are we going to do? When the infielders gather in, is there ever much strategy talked at all other than maybe, okay, we're going to put the wheel play on here or something like this?
Yeah, I don't think so. I think it's more of a just a little bit of time, with the clock now, it's real hard to give a pitcher a lot of time. So it's more of a, you just collect your thoughts and figure out that it's just not working. Let me take a deep breath here. Think about just a little bit what I need to do mechanically and then get right back after it and use my stuff. Perez is in the big leagues because he throws left-handed. He's not 96. That's why he's starting. And he's really, you know, once he narrows it down, you can say that effectively wild kind of thing. Well, that was him yesterday. He would throw a ball over the catcher's head, and then he would come right back and go down and away with a 96-mile-an-hour fastball. It's that kind of thing. Those are the guys, when you're hitting against those guys, are very hard to set up. You can't. He's all over the map.
Right.
So, you know, it's the rhythm of the game and things like that. The more times I see everybody going around the mound, that usually means the pitcher's not doing very well. Mm-hmm. He's really searching, trying to figure it out. And Nichols yesterday with Perez, they were trying to figure it out.
Same thing in the minors. Does that happen a lot? Did it happen a lot in the minors, or is that a little different?
It does, but not as much. I think it's more of
– That's survival.
100%. You know, I think the minor leagues is a lot more about you personally, because your ultimate goal is trying to get to the big leagues. When you get to the big leagues and you're established, like the Rangers, for the most part on that staff and in the infield are established. And – they're trying to win games. That's what it's all about. So if it takes a little bit more time, it's all about time. Minor leagues, you know, you do all of that stuff off the field. And then when you get on the field, it's more of a time thing because, you know, everything goes through the minor leagues. It's like when you invent the shot clock, well, you have to do it in the minor leagues first.
Right.
So it's a little bit of that. So you don't see as much time taking in the minor leagues. It's more of, okay, let's go. You get your 8-10 seconds and it's right back after it again. If you don't, you go to the next down levels.
Right.
Yeah, when you're not getting it done, you go down.
The game report says awfully slow.
100%.
And if you're awfully slow at Triple A, you're going to be awfully slow at Double A sometime soon.
And you'll be in Double A.
Yeah. Ever had anything funny happen on the mound? Conversations, you know, that you can tell us? Pitchers say piss off or something like that.
You mean like Bull Durham when he comes out and he's talking about the wedding, what you're going to get?
Yeah, not necessarily.
You're
going to
get the bride for the wedding and things like that.
I mean, maybe in winter ball. Stuff happens.
I have, but most of those conversations you can't understand. Yeah. Oh, at least I couldn't. I'm sure it's, you know, you have pitching coaches come out and say weird things like tuck your shirt in or you know, a lot of it I can't say. But I think it's more of just getting that pitcher to think about something other than what he's doing at that moment, because that's what it's all about. I'll say this. At the big league level, when you think too much, bad things happen. Because you know what you do, but when you're between the lines, the thinking's out of it. Because you've done enough thinking off the field that when you get on the field, it's just second nature to you. You just get the ball, throw it where you want to. You have a game plan. That's when you're locked in and everything's going the way it should, and you have a rhythm. And it's like hitting. It's like playing defense. It's like throwing strikes. It's like a catcher trying to throw a guy out at second. He does it enough off the field that when he gets on the field, it's just second nature to him. So, yeah, it's, you know – baseball is so much of a rhythm game that when you're out of the rhythm, like the Rangers were yesterday with Perez, he was searching.
Yeah.
You know, and the Blue Jays obviously had him on the ropes a lot because he was 3-0 counts quite a few times. And if they're locked in the way they were last year, he doesn't make it out of the third inning.
No, I was going to say the most frustrating thing to me watching that game last night, and I mentioned this to Shulman as well, the most frustrating thing to me is I'm sitting there thinking, last year, this guy isn't here in the third inning.
And I'll say this, too. I think the one time Donaldson was at the plate and Nichols and Perez were going out together a lot.
Yep.
And you could see Donaldson numerous times turn around the umpire and go, hey, let's go.
Yeah.
Seriously, I'm in a rhythm here, too. I'm trying to get it going. What's going on here? We have clocks for a reason now. Let's get a little bit more rhythm.
So, you know,
it's both ways here. The rhythm has to happen on both sides of the ball. And, you know, maybe that was a little bit planned, I guess, yesterday with the Rangers. But I'm going to say this. Most of the time, you don't want it like that.
Let's take a look around Major League Baseball. I always like bringing up guys that Barker played with for a variety of reasons. I mean, I find it interesting when you can talk to you about a guy that you've had some personal experience with.
Right.
Or Travis McKenzie points out that Bronson Arroyo, a Nationals pitcher with the Nationals, a guy that, I mean, I've interviewed a couple of times and he was at the Reds. He's kind of a cool guy. I mean,
he's awesome.
If you talk to a lot of writers, you know, who spend a lot of time around clubhouses, national writers, he's like their top 10 because he's a dude who always talks to you.
Always got
stuff.
A story.
He's always got a great story.
Yeah.
He's got partially torn tendons in his rotator cuff. So he's attempting to throw sidearm while rehabbing at the Nationals complex. Now, Bronson's got to be pushing 40, isn't he?
Yeah, you know, that's too bad. He was always really nice to me when I played with him with the Reds, and I've been around with him quite a few times. And whenever you start trying to reinvent yourself at that age, it's never a good thing. You're searching. I mean, he doesn't want to leave the game.
I was going to say,
that's the hardest thing.
But he's made his money. Why would he?
It's hard. It's hard leaving. When you're that level and you've made that much money, it's not about money anymore. You know, it's about, I can't go out that way. I can't go out the way by being hurt, and then the game forgets about me. He's trying to reinvent himself. And most of the time at that age, it doesn't work. It's too bad because he used to be really good at flipping it and pulling it and getting you out on your front foot. That was his whole deal, the Ephus breaking ball. And I can remember facing him in spring training and back-legging him and you know, hitting it in a family of ducks in right center field about a mile away and laughing. And he's just a really nice, fun. He loves to play the game of baseball, and he'll do whatever it takes to win a game. That's what I loved about him. Whatever it takes. If I have to throw 70 miles an hour all day, yeah, I'll do it.
He was a very resourceful pitcher. And you're right. Great. I mean, I always used to have his guitar around. Great storyteller as well. Taking a look elsewhere on baseball, the New York Yankees lost their sixth straight last night, 4-1 to the Baltimore Orioles. A couple of homers for Mark Trumbo. The Yankees are, well, I mean, Brian Cashman just getting savaged in the New York media right now. Six straight for the Yankees, six straight loss. They do get Aroldis Chapman back Monday from his suspension. But, Kevin, you know, Joe Girardi's still using Dylan Betances, still using Andrew Miller. Now he's going to have Aroldis Chapman. God almighty. Are they going to have any save situations to use these guys in?
I think it's going to be tough. You know, you talked about this a lot last year and the way the Yankees are going. And obviously they're trying to get younger, but now you're seeing they are old. I think that's the biggest issue they have right now is it's going to be staying healthier.
Tell you what, I'd move one of those guys right now.
And hitting the fastball, you know, it's hard. You know, when you're not doing the way you're expected to do, and everybody knows that you're trying to get rid of that guy to get younger.
Yeah, but the only thing is, Betances, Miller, and Chapman's been suspended, but they're still pretty good. Like, it's not like people are going to go, yeah, boy, the Yankees suck. I don't think I like Dylan Betances or Andrew Miller as much as I used to. People are still going to.
Yo, they're not scoring runs. You know, we talked about the Blue Jays not hitting.
What I'm saying is their value on the market right now. I mean, if I'm the Yankees,
you're talking about moving the big three, one of the big three.
I'm saying if I'm the Yankees, I'm looking. If I'm Brian Cashman, I'm taking phone
calls. Well, that's going to be another tough sell for the Yankees fans. You got to remember where they play. New York's a different animal, and you start throwing away one of your biggest assets, which is the end of the game.
Mm-hmm.
How you going to sell that? Yeah. How are we going to win games now? We're not winning them now.
Yeah,
and then you get rid of one of them. How are you going to win them? That's tough sale.
Yeah, it may be a little early in the year, but as I said,
I'll say this:
Brian Cashman is really starting to wear it right now.
It gives the Blue Jays a lot of incentive to get hot and hot in a hurry.
You know, the division's there.
Only 3.5 back, and they played the way they have.
It's time. Division's there. Elsewhere, the Cincinnati Reds set a major league record: 21 consecutive games in which their bullpen has allowed a run. Never mind. I was going to make a comment, but they'll probably pass. But I don't think that'll happen. The Royals, this is a terrific game. I watched a bit of it online. The Royals beat the Nationals 7-6. Lorenzo Cain on a walk-off single. I could watch those guys, those teams.
Well, you know the biggest deal with the Royals last year were in the clutch, hitting with two outs and runners in scoring position. Well, now this year they're one of the worst teams in baseball at doing that.
Yeah.
It's funny how little things like that happen.
It's like them and the Blue, they've got a lot of offensive issues that mirror the Blue Jays' offensive.
It is, and you notice a team that doesn't hit a lot of home runs and can't rely on going up and bopping the ball when you're not doing that little thing you were doing a lot of last year. It's, you know, it's hard to win games even for Kansas City the way they pitched at the end of that bullpen. So, you know, it's besides the Cubs. You know, you're looking at the Cubs, and basically right now with Arrieta, the way he's pitching, man, that's one guy you don't want to face.
Yeah.
Ever.
Speaking of, 2 hits in 7 innings, Chicago beat the Pirates 7-1 last night. That series will continue today. Take a look elsewhere.
Okay, I'll say this.
I want to mention Bryce Harper. Signed what is believed to be the largest ever endorsement deal for a baseball player, a 10-year extension with Under Armour.
Good for him. I had dinner with him last year when he was here when they were playing the Blue Jay. I think it was last year, right? They were here playing the Blue Jays.
The last year?
Was
too?
It last year?
How the hell did you have dinner with him?
Because he's my friend. I had dinner with him. And, you know, the funny thing, great hitters. I said, what do you look for when you walk to the plate? You know what he told me?
What?
Right down the middle.
How do you know Bryce Harper?
I played with him when I was in the Nationals, like I did Ian Desmond.
Of course, that's right. Okay. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I do have friends, Chip.
I know
people,
you.
People do like
you,
me.
You dropped this on me. You know, yeah, I was over at Donald Trump's house for breakfast the other day.
No, that's a little far.
Well, yeah, I know. I would have been here sooner, but I was on the phone with Justin Trudeau.
On occasion, I know people. On occasion.
Oh, I know.
Good for Bryce. He's the way baseball's going, right?
Yeah.
A guy that doesn't, you know, is wears his heart on his sleeve and is going to tell you like it is.
I think he's, you know, you always have the argument about who's the face of the game, Mike Trout or Bryce Harper. I think Bryce Harper surpassed Mike Trout right now as the face of the game. I think Bryce Harper's the guy.
I think he can't go wrong either way. I don't know who I would pick there. I think Mike Trout's pretty good. I think when you have a guy that does everything right, mm-hmm. on and off the field and always says the right thing, he's hard to surpass.
What's the best thing you ever got out of baseball?
Like my family.
Oh, now you're going to make me cry.
What?
That's a solid answer.
Well, next question.
I'm just going to end the show now. We'll just play music. I'm kidding, Travis. I'm not going to end the show. What I meant was not endorsement deals, but I mean, did you ever get something for like winning a home run derby and anything?
No. You know? No. Well, awards.
Free steak dinners?
Yeah, I got a lot of those.
Yeah.
I got a lot of those in Louisville, Kentucky whenever I played there, and you would be like player of the game. And
there you go.
You would give out. I don't remember the steakhouse name. I should do that because I was there a lot, and mm-hmm. I was like Norm. Every time you walked in, it was like, hey, Kevin. But, you know, that was, I think, one of the things. You know what I will say?
What?
It's like you were surprised whenever I said I knew these people like Bryce Harper, and
I'm pulling your
that's
chain.
What I got. That's what I got from baseball besides my family, which was the most important thing. But that's what I really understand is like Ian Desmond's one of my really good friends. And I didn't know him that long. Like, mm-hmm. I just met him in spring training, and I hung out with him the spring training until I got released. And he's one of those guys, as soon as I met him, he was my friend forever.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I got from baseball is friendships I'll have forever. It's like Sean Casey.
Mm-hmm.
Sean Casey, I met him when I played against him in college 20 years ago. And he's been my friend ever since. That's what you get from baseball when you play it a long time and as many years as I played in winter ball and mm-hmm. everywhere I was at. Those are nice things.
It is interesting, you know, how many players, it may be a little different now because I don't think guys don't play winter ball as much as they used to.
They should.
But when you talk to guys who have played a lot of winter ball and then you just kind of ask them, well, who are some of the guys you played with? And they rattle off some of the names and you just realize what a community is. Like how many guys, you played with Ryan Howard, didn't you, in winter ball?
I did not know, but I played when I was at the Phillies in Double A.
Double A in the Phillies.
Yeah, before he got good. Well, yeah. He was really good in Double A, but then he went to the big leagues and he's really good. You know, I played with an interesting guy in winter ball, Jose Lima. They called him Lima Time.
Yeah.
Well, his name fit the bill. Lima Time was it. It's like I knew him. As soon as I met him, it's like I knew him forever.
Where was that?
It was in the Dominican Republic. He was one of the nicest people I'd ever met. And
yeah.
It's just little small things like that you remember. And, you know, it's.
Now, Lima Time was a big deal in the majors, too.
He was.
He was fun.
For a very long time. He's well missed.
Yeah, it really is kind of cool. Bryce Harper, I forgot that.
That's funny that you would think he would not want to hang out with me.
That's how I took it. No, it's not. Oh, God. It's got nothing to do with that. It's just I don't, you know, you forget aspects of everybody's career,
sure.
Where they played. That's
sure.
What I'm saying. It's got nothing else to do with it.
Just go type my name in the internet. You'll figure it out, Jeff.
I may have to do that. We'll try to get Gavin Floyd on tomorrow.
I hit right-handed, remember?
Yeah, I did make that mistake, didn't I?
You still do.
Kevin Barker. That's an inside joke. For Kevin Barker, I'm Jeff Blair. Thanks for joining us in Baseball Central. Don't forget, Jays Rangers. Game 3 of that 4-game series goes tonight. Aaron Sanchez on the mound. Colby Lewis for the Rangers. Have a great day, everybody.